coming up.
I do disaster, I do hope, I do speculative gambling.
Charging will resume when the iPhone returns to normal temperature.
I'm always proved wrong.
What is the voice of disaster?
The voice of disaster.
If I ever work on a building site, I am ready to go.
How do you say that?
How do you say that?
Oh God, it's happening. Oh God.
Danger, danger, danger.
See, my whole brain went, uh-oh.
As long as I'm morphed in the right way.
No, no, no.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, you just wait till the terrible thing happens.
My skin is tingling.
The audio magpie.
And now, enjoy the podcast.
How do you say that?
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 Hello and welcome to How Do You Say That, sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. Over there's my co-host Samantha Boffin.
Hello. And this is my co-host Mark Rice.
Hello. If you're new to the podcast, this is what it's all about. Every week we set out to prove there isn't just one way to read a script. There are literally lots of different ways.
Literally lots of different
yes.
ways. And we do that fun thing by inviting a special guest onto the show, and we bring a script and they bring a script and we all get to give them both a read.
Mm-hmm. And we also get to play true or false. So Sam, I once choked on live TV so badly that I have to go off set, vomit, felt so much better and was back on within 10 minutes. True or false?
That's so you.
I have done many hours of live TV in my career, let's face it.
Yes, I imagine you were horribly hungover and you did exactly that.
Actually, no, it was one of my colleagues. So I have seen someone do it. I've never done that.
Wow, really?
I've seen someone do that. Poor fella.
When I was a student, once I had a quick nap before going out one evening and then I woke up, I got ready, and discovered I'd actually been asleep for over 14 hours and it was 6 a.m., not p.m. Is that true or false?
I think it has to be true because I think we've all done it. I've definitely done that. Yes, I'm going to go absolutely true on that.
Yes, absolutely.
I think we've all done that. Well, let's welcome our special guest, voice actor Kieran Sword. Hello, Kieran.
Hello.
Hello.
It's lovely to have you along.
It's lovely to be here. It's very exciting.
Excellent. Let's find out a little bit more about Kieran, shall we, Sam?
Yes. Now, Kieran, before I get into Kieran, he does something really clever on his website and email signature. Yeah. He adds in a little visual about how his name is pronounced.
Yeah, clever.
Which I love that because that's fun and that's useful. He also sent really clear pronunciation info over with his script. But however, it is the sign of an experienced voiceover.
True.
I'm impressed.
I think it's just the sign of someone who was given an interestingly spelled name.
Yeah,
I think we can all learn from it, quite honestly.
Yes, we can.
So anyway, Kieran is a full-time voice actor and voiceover, and he's best known as the voice of the award-winning audio comic book Bunny vs. Monkey. He's narrated over 100 audiobooks and performed in award-winning audio drama and video game productions, including Audible's The Sandman. Woohoo! Let's hear it for that. And Sega's Metaphor ReFantazio.
Yes, he's also voiced for brands like American Express, M&S, Philips, Sainsbury's, Fentiment, as well as commercial and corporate clients. He enjoys the practicality of ELT work as well. So, Kieran, what's your fun fact, please?
Well, my fun fact is that I dabble with making up languages, nothing too Tolkien-ish, but just like Seb Krotokol's intelligent gibberish. You're just sort of making sounds and stuff like that. But anyway, to the extent that sometimes I hear them in my dreams.
Have you ever created a language that you've actually been able to converse with somebody else in?
No. Nothing on that scale at all. It's been like maybe a sentence, like for fun. Because I also get bored very easily. I would never have the patience to do like, come up with this fully, you know, grammatically correct stuff. And I also don't know enough about the actual technical stuff. I've done like a bit of, you know, dabbling, but it's more just, I just like making silly sounds.
I thought you were going to say you were like the consultant for the Klingon language and stuff.
Ooh. No, though I would be. I would love to have worked with, like, there's a guy called Mark Ockrand who did the language for the Avatar film, and before that there was Disney's like Atlantis film, and I think he might have done Klingon as well, actually. But anyway, yeah, if I got to sort of meet him, that would be very cool.
So on that multilingual note, let's have a look at our first script of the show and ask how really do
I. I love that. That's really good.
Fantastic.
That's really good. I like it. Play How Do You Say That? So the script I've got for you is a health and safety script. It's a 3D animation. It's pretty straight, and I've done about 300 of these for this client.
300?
Yeah.
300?
Yeah.
That's a lot of checklists.
It's a lot of different companies with checklists, to be fair, yeah.
It's all done in the past tense. I wasn't sure because of that and the health and safety theme. I wasn't sure with the past tense it was all leading up to some horrific accident.
No, it's a really good question, this. There are three parts to it. It goes, this is what went wrong. This is what you should have done. These are the things we learn for the future.
Yeah.
So this is what went wrong part.
Yeah, that was my sort of instinct. Yep. I was like, yep. This is leading up to, totally. You know, something, yep. Someone losing a head.
Yeah. I don't think this one quite lost a head, but it was close.
This is almost snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, it sounds like, because someone does something right in terms of the rigger cancelled the job. It's like, well, you did that right. Unfortunately, you didn't do this.
You're on the right lines, yes.
If you had to give me an attention for this, what is it, informative or...?
Yes, informative
so is
and...
Is that the overarching thing?
Yes, it's informative and potentially it is to a bunch of people that work on a building site.
Who also presumably don't want to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they get played it in a big room where they're all sitting in chairs before the job begins and it's played on the big screen, so they have to watch it.
Okay.
Right, okay. And need to land the info.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, all right. I'll give it a go. Before the task, a mobile crane operator completed a job risk assessment, JRA, and a pre-operation checklist for his mobile crane. He then drove the mobile crane to the job location site, but had to drive with the boom slightly raised to be able to see, as one of his cameras was faulty. At the job site, the lifting operation required a load to be lifted onto the back of a low bed truck, but the truck's load capacity was not enough, and the rigger correctly cancelled the job. The mobile crane operator then left the job site the same way he came, again, with the boom slightly raised.
And I hate to break it to you, but some horrible accident happened because he did that.
I bet.
Okay.
That was nice. All of the information came across. Kieran, what did you think?
I think one of the things, because I would say you have a very kind of flowing, polished read typically, that always seems like it's sort of leading me somewhere. Like it's kind of like flowing through sort of the various things.
Mm.
Maybe it's I sort of find myself getting caught up in that flow, so
yes,
I don't. Yep. But I guess if this is leading to the point where
it gets
terrible
in the way.
Happens, we're kind of just like, well, you just wait till the terrible thing happens.
But does that mean you're not listening to the information that she's saying? You're
possibly.
Not taking it in.
I wonder if that's the case.
I should get you to read it again and see if. Because I feel like I wasn't. I think I was the construction worker in the room on that first
not
day. I was
attention.
Just sitting there going,
fair.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. Yeah, and.
See, Sam, I think you do have the right kind of voice for
it. Okay, good.
And I think because you took it away from your luxury end to your informative end, if that is sensible. Mm-hmm. And I think that quite worked because as soon as you went, one of his cameras was faulty, my whole brain went, that shouldn't happen.
Because interestingly in this, there is quite a lot of storytelling in this.
Yes.
You've got to flag the points in the story that they've got to be aware of.
And the script writers for these 300 were very good at turning what is an incident into a story because I think they understand if you turn it into a story, it's more interesting for people to go, oh, that's what went wrong. We won't do it that way.
And it's significantly more fun than I was expecting to read it.
Sam, I do agree with what Mark said about your informative voice, actually, because I think that's the key. I've done like a couple of informative things and I always have to like catch myself from like... slipping into performance mode rather than just chatting to someone like I would normally talk to them.
Yeah, almost
and actually,
being too
and
jolly.
Actually from, yeah, exactly. But actually, from the second paragraph, I could hear that you were just like, actually, you're using much more of a straight conversational voice. So I didn't switch off because of that.
I'm just intrigued. I mean, you know, I often wonder, do people have particular voices that are useful for certain things? I suppose they do.
I think
for this kind of thing, is it pretty much almost anyone, so long as they can tap into that informative part
well,
of their
I don't like to think
voice.
Almost anyone can do
oh,
it.
No. Oh, no.
Thanks for the compliment, though, Sam.
Oops. It's like...
yeah, well, it'd be a great question to ask, you know, what is a voice of disaster? Like, you know, who do you hear and go...
what is the voice of disaster?
Because my only references are, or the things which immediately spring to mind, are John Hurt doing the, like, terrifying AIDS
totally.
Campaign in the
80s. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was echoed in COVID when Mark Strong was doing a lot of, like, the government's
absolutely.
COVID thing.
Yes.
So I think it is often a sort of grizzled...
You're not saying that Sam has a grizzled...
No, I haven't. But maybe that's why I didn't immediately see
it. All right. So, Kieran, let's have a look at how you're going to bring us informative storytelling on this disaster waiting to happen.
Let's see. Before the task, a mobile crane operator completed a job risk assessment, JRA, and a pre-operation checklist for his mobile crane. He then drove the mobile crane to the job location site, but had to drive with the boom slightly raised to be able to see, as one of his cameras was faulty. At the job site, the lifting operation required a load to be lifted onto the back of a low-bed truck, but the truck's load capacity was not enough, and the rigger correctly cancelled the job. The mobile crane operator then left the job site the same way he came, again with the boom slightly raised.
There's a real storytelling feel to that. I like it. That was a lot slower than I thought.
I'm a slow man.
I don't believe that for a second.
I'm like a greyhound, actually, maybe. I'm slow a lot of the time because I go through intense periods of just knackering myself and then have to lie down for a while.
I think for this client, they would say maybe that was slightly too slow for them and they would get you to probably 25% faster, but the storytelling was lovely, okay. I thought.
I did love that end line as well. That was the really tension. Leading on to, what the fuck happened now?
Yeah.
You know, we know this was the wrong thing to do, guys.
Just when you thought it was safe to leave the job site. The Jaws music starts.
Dun, 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 yes, dun. Exactly. Yeah, so the same tone, you would say, Mark, but just a tad quicker.
Tad quicker. Yeah. I remember another one of these scripts, which literally went, and then it dropped. And there's this picture of this girder dropping on a bunch of people. And it's in cartoon form. And it's like, oh, my God.
Do you voice a picture for these, Mark?
No, the pictures are always afterwards. They send me a finished thing. I've got a file, a library of them. So if I ever work on a building site, I am ready to go.
Yeah, you're so
good.
You'll
be the safest man on that site.
I'll be the one going, oh, no, you can't do it like that. We can't, no, tools down, yeah. Can't do it like that.
I want you to do it in that voice, the nerdy voice. That would be so good.
Keep it in your brains. Keep it in your brains, the wild card coming later. All right, let me show you what I did, because I don't think it's a million miles away from either of what you two did with the storytelling. But let's have a look. Before the task, a mobile crane operator completed a job risk assessment, JRA, and a pre-operation checklist for his mobile crane. He then drove the mobile crane to the job location site, but had to drive with the boom slightly raised to be able to see, as one of his cameras was faulty. At the job site, the lifting operation required a load to be lifted onto the back of a low-bed truck. But the truck's load capacity was not enough, and the rigger correctly cancelled the job. The mobile crane operator then left the job site the same way he came, again with the boom slightly raised.
Yeah, you marqueed slightly raised both times, didn't you? So I'm guessing that the problem was in the slightly
raised
boom.
The problem was in the boom raise,
yeah, well,
yes.
It was interesting that was the first thing I noticed on that second paragraph, was that I think I stressed boom as someone who's unfamiliar with cranes. But I actually think the way you went over that quite smoothly and to just hit the slightly raised part.
Yeah, slightly raised, that's the important part.
Felt that actually in the context, I'm sure that's probably better, because these guys will all know, they're watching a safe thing about cranes.
They'll
really
know
what
point.
A boom is.
Absolutely. Yeah. They work with it every day. They know what that is. And it's the slightly raised thing that is the issue that they need to be thinking about. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I liked how I think you stressed the left the job site. Again, I think I said left the job site, like stressed the whole thing. And it was more powerful when you did it with just hit the left raised door.
Yeah, that was nice. Yes, exactly.
How do you say that?
It's worthwhile remembering these are real scripts we've been working on, but we've changed the names and some of the details to avoid copyright issues. And remember, you can find both the scripts we're using today in the show notes of the episode.
Yes, you can. So, Kieran, tell us a bit about your script, please.
Okay, so this script is for an activation video. Apparently, brand activation is a marketing activity.
Oh,
an immediate response, apparently. I was like,
like a launch of a brand.
Yeah, it's all
is
this sort of semi-occult corporate speak.
Occult corporate speak.
Basically gives you their elevator pitch about what they do.
What do they do, Kieran?
The client is a software platform to help businesses manage their contracts better.
Christ, like that digitally. Still doesn't tell me anything.
Well, exactly. So it's like, it's just doing contract paperwork, like digitally, faster, automated, all that jazz. So it sounds like potentially quite a dry, papery subject matter, doesn't it?
Do we think Astrid is part of it, or is she someone that works in the office?
So yeah, Astrid is a person. So she's sort of like the, you know, it's the classic... They're the person that is going to use their product, basically. It's the classic. You don't right. want to be the person in your current situation where things are really hard. You want to be this person.
Yeah.
Be more Astrid.
The contract stuff is quite a dry subject matter, but the creative studio who made the video flipped it into this really dramatic, mythical struggle.
That's what I was basically. About to ask. It seems as if it could be big.
Exactly. They turned the kind of pain points of using normal contracts into these fantastical looking monster costumes, basically.
That's useful to
know. Yes, it is. So it's more characterful than straight read in a bunch of different ways then.
Well, they cast me because, yeah, they wanted the script to have this really strong storyteller presence to play off the idea of monsters and legends. So the initial brief really wanted to foreground the voiceover as that thing. But the music they chose also ended up emphasising this quite dramatic, fantastical vibe. And because the visuals themselves are quite abstract and surreal, they then actually realised the VO direction would need to pull back a bit and be a bit more of a grounding presence because, you know, this is the pitch of a real company in the real world selling quite a technical product to businesses for their important legal stuff.
Fantastic. So you then created that.
Well, I'm going to go legendary hero.
You go legendary.
Okay, I think.
Cool.
Let's give it a try. Contracts. A monstrous mess seen too many times. Complicated, stressful, and long. But not for some. People call them contract legends, like Astrid, turning pain into productivity. Chaos conquered. Contracts on boss mode. Be a contract legend. With Uniflow.
Ooh.
I love
big.
That. Yeah,
big.
I liked the big.
It actually came out slightly bigger. I caught myself halfway. at Contract Legends, I caught myself halfway going, no, this is too big now.
Yeah, if that was the grounded version, I would shudder
to
think.
I don't think I was as grounded as maybe I thought I was going to be.
But I thought you were going to go for big. I thought that was your choice, wasn't it?
You said he'd pull it back a little bit.
I know, I said I'd pull it back a little bit more than that.
Okay. I loved that, and of course you can never tell whether it would work with the visuals, but using the script that we simply have in front of us, I loved that.
My one was much more dull than that. But in terms of the beats in the script, you hit lots of those in the same way, which is really good. It was interesting to hear the difference of running the stressful, that sort of complicated, stressful and long. You ran stressful and long.
I absolutely decided to ignore the full stop there.
Yeah, but that was fine though. That was
as a choice.
That's one of those things, isn't it, that you do to kind of keep as you one of those things as a listener. You can predict. You go da 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 and da da. So you're like, well, on the second one, you're like, well, I know where this is going, and I've sort of checked out. But so actually going through all of them, you're like keeping them on their toes.
Yeah. Well, I'll try something different.
Yeah,
I'll try something a lot lighter, maybe, just because I can see how I could do what you just did.
Yes.
Which would be huge fun. I'll try something a little more throwaway.
Okay.
Contracts. A monstrous mess seen too many times. Complicated, stressful, and long. But not for some. People call them contract legends, like Astrid, turning pain into productivity. Chaos conquered. Contracts on boss mode. Be a contract legend with Uniflow.
Yeah, there was a wry smile all the way through that in terms of, I know how your product is going to actually make your life a whole lot better. And it was the way you went, and long. And you stressed the long there. I thought that was really good. And I knew exactly where you were going with it.
Interesting. It still came out more performative than I wanted it to be.
Interesting.
It's hard not to do, isn't it, when you get given that note of make it like storytellery legendary. It's hard to like, even if you're trying to minimise it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because this is a very good one to use as an audition because there are so many options and so many different ideas that you could bring to it. Because I was thinking, you know, maybe doing a contract, a monstrous mess seen too many times. It's complicated, stressful, long. You know, you could you could be very...
That almost feels more like David Attenborough observational. Yeah. Like the monster is not this sort of terrifying presence that's escaped out of its cage towards you. It's like you're in the bushes going, oh, look over there, a contract.
Yes, there's so many possibilities with this. So I'll be very interested to see what you actually did.
Yes, come on, Kieran, show us what you did.
Here we go. Contracts. A monstrous mess seen too many times. Complicated, stressful, and long. But not for some. People call them contract legends, like Astrid, turning pain into productivity. Chaos conquered. Contracts on boss mode. Be a contract legend with Uniflow.
Wow.
That's exactly what you meant. You pulled it back so that the graphics did all of the really big legendary stuff, but that complemented it beautifully.
But also you were a different person.
Yes.
You were not Kieran.
Mm-hmm.
There was someone you really reminded me of. Somebody, oh. You know, somebody big and really well known. Somebody with a lot of sort of clout. And I cannot remember who it is at the moment.
I think that is me, Sam. You know,
that is.
You
know, so I think you'll find that is Kieran. Yeah.
No,
I think you'll find him a pretty big deal, actually.
But it was just like you just morphed into
Oh wow,
Mr. Bossman.
As long as I morphed in the right way.
Yes,
totally.
Not into a monster.
All right, are we ready for the wildcard section of the show, people?
Yes, yeah. We definitely are.
It's time to approach these scripts in a very different way, perhaps.
It is. So, Kieran, can you pick one of the scripts and give one of us something new to do with it?
Mm. Okay, I'm going to steal this direction off the bat because I thought it was quite a fun one. I want to... I don't know who I want to do it, but I would like whoever I choose imminently to do the first health and safety script.
Yes.
As if you are a soothsayer or someone's grandma who's always had the gift, relaying a dream, relaying a dream that you had.
You've just
woken up and you're telling someone this dream.
Wow.
And you think something terrible might be about to happen.
Who's going to do it, Kieran?
I pick Sam.
Hey!
Okay. Great. Okay.
Oh, before the task, a mobile crane operator completed a job risk assessment at, a JRA and a pre-operation checklist for his mobile crane. He then drove the mobile crane to the job location site, but had to drive with the boom slightly raised to be able to see, as one of his cameras was faulty. At the job site. The lifting operation required a load to be lifted onto the back of a low bed truck. The truck's load capacity was not enough and the rigger correctly cancelled the job. The mobile crane operator then left the job site the same way he came. Again, with the boom slightly raised.
I love that. My skin is tingling. It's like as you tell the story.
I had to clamp my mouth shut to not like burst into giggles of joy
for the
entire time you were doing that. I thought that was fantastic.
Lovely. Did you enjoy that though, Sam?
Well, I did, but I then look back at it and think, I could have made so much more of that in various places. You know, you sort of think, what a fun thing to do.
Well, Kieran, stand by your beds. Here's one for you. I'm going to get you to do script one as well. But because you weren't able to bring us the giant, mysterious hero read of script two, I'm going to get you to do the JRA, but with the big hero that I know is within you.
I'm trying to figure out if I'll make the boom slightly raised like a positive thing or not. Actually, I know how I want to end
yes.
it. It's just whether or not it'll... Okay.
Yes.
Interesting. Before the task, a mobile crane operator completed a job risk assessment and a pre-operation checklist for his mobile crane. He then drove the mobile crane to the job location site, but had to drive with the boom slightly raised to be able to see, as one of his cameras was faulty. At the job site, the lifting operation required a load to be lifted onto the back of a low-bed truck, but the truck's load capacity was not enough, and the rigger correctly cancelled the job. The mobile crane operator then left the job site the same way he came, again with the boom slightly raised.
There was something quite dark about that hero, though. You were pulling your people along with you.
That morphed halfway through to a political rally. That started
a little
like,
bit, yes.
Yeah. It was more. Then, it was more of a sort of like. Maybe it was Sam's northern accent. I just went into sort of like a sort of Arthur Scargill, like union rally type thing of being like, come on, we're not going to take this anymore. We're going to do this. Go there with the cranes. Raise those booms. Unite.
You didn't go completely over the top.
No, it was much more pulled back than I had thought. Yeah.
No, but I mean in a really good way. You didn't go completely mad.
No.
Yeah, I love the complete... the way it built and built and built and built and built. It was, yes, just, you know, danger, danger, danger.
Yeah, exactly.
Lovely.
We're back to the one with the dangerous voice, the voice of danger.
The voice of doom.
The voice of destruction.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to take this in a different direction for you, matey.
All right.
Script two, obviously, because we haven't done it before.
Yes.
And I want you to be a wily fox who has a chicken in his sights.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Okay. Contracts. A monstrous mess seen too many times. Complicated, stressful, and long, but not for some. People call them contract legends, like Astrid. Turning pain into productivity, chaos conquered contracts on Bosma, be a contract legend!
That was amazing. I love the fact that initially I thought you were like looking at the kind of the monster and thinking, okay, like there's the contract, I'm going to eat the contract. But then when you said like Astrid, it was like you sort of like the camera sort of turned.
Astrid's
I was like,
the chicken.
he's not going to eat the contract. He's going to eat Astrid. The speed of that pounce as well.
Yes,
I was like,
yes.
I was blown away by that. I was just like, oh God, it's happening. Oh God. I think I felt like a chicken in the headlights there.
I loved it. I loved the way you circled Astrid.
Yeah.
You know, and you were kind of mean and wily. I loved it.
Well, if you want to play along in the privacy of your own booths, as we've said before, we've put the scripts in the show notes so you can have a try yourself.
Yes, absolutely. You can. So, Kieran, you worked on Sandman with a legendary Dirk Max.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk us through the sort of session or the sessions? How did you get into the imaginary world of Sandman?
I don't know. I guess I was already a little familiar with the universe in terms of everything being very fantastical, and it's all kind of it's not just fantastical. It's, you know, the land of dreams, so it kind of spans the mundane and lots of other things. So because of everything that's you sort of see in the comics and everything that happens, you know, you've got gods and spirits and traveling through time and space and all these kind of things. It was very easy to kind of tap into that kind of fantastical, mystical stuff. In fact, my key direction from Dirk on the day, because I was playing the main role in that thing, was a captain who slaps Joanna Lumley in the face.
There aren't many people that can say that.
Yeah,
wow.
It was like, it's my first major job and I have to pretend to slap a national treasure in the face.
Oh, my goodness.
The main point of direction that came back was just be more normal. Like, this is your job and you're kind of bored. Like, it's not... It might be exciting and stressful for, you know, for her having this room ransacked and trying to smuggle stuff past the soldiers, but you're just, like, there on another job doing this thing. So... trying to make it less, I guess, evil villainy, because I think I've got a reasonable track record of doing, you know, the classic evil villainy type things. So it was just making them more...
So to pull like that back.
The banality of evil. That was it. It's more just kind of like, it's the everyday. Yeah. It's like, I'm just the soldier that goes to work every day and comes back.
Yes.
It's just the things I do in between are actually quite terrible.
Were you recording with the rest of the cast at that point, or were you doing it as a solo artist?
Yes, it was with other cast members in the room. Another reason why it was it's basically the most fun at work, the best day at work I think I've had still, probably, because A, it's real people, and who doesn't love actually meeting and talking with real human beings in a room that's larger than a small prison cell. Because it was COVID, we had like transparent screens between us all.
Oh, really?
Friends.
Wow.
Yeah. In fact, I did a little, like, I sort of turned to Joanna and like put my sort of hand up like on the screen, like, oh, I'm sort of separated. I think she put her hand up as well. It's a nice like Tarzan Jane moment.
Wow.
But so yeah, we're all there. And that definitely was audible when you sort of run through it. Because,
yes.
And then it's also more like a proper play as well. And because I don't come from the professional acting background, I did like amateur dramatic stuff, you know, school and uni. So actually going back to a sort of a rehearsed thing where you flow all the way through and you kind of need to have your timings right and all that kind of stuff, that made it feel more real as well, because it was all just happening, you know, you're performing in the moment with everyone else who's performing in the moment. So it was a really great way of doing it.
And how did you cope with the fact that, I mean, because she is a legend, let's be honest. I mean, if you walk into a room and there are, you know, people of Joanna Lumley's caliber in there, did you have to take that all in your stride? Was there a moment of, oh, okay, need to, you know, cope with that? How did that feel?
I think I coped. I was very curious to see what she was actually like working. That was the thing, because I was like, well, obviously you sort of see her in this kind of final product of everything she's done, but I was like, oh, I'm about to see like how the sausage is made, about to see how the magic happens. And she was just very, very professional and like, you know, lovely but also professional. So I was just like, oh, here she is. It's also different when you see someone in real life as a person. Something about a TV screen has a way of making people feel like alien and mystical,
otherworldly.
And like otherworldly. Yeah. When actually, you if you see them in the flesh, you're like, oh, are you actually just here, like a body in space,
a normal person. Yes.
So helps sort of counterbalance it a bit. But yeah, I was just don't make any terrible mistakes. I'm still in that process. I'm still learning all the time, trying to do
We're always learning. Yeah, we're exactly. always learning.
Oh, Kieran, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I hope you've
enjoyed
it.
I've had an amazing time. I've had a blast.
Huge thanks to Kieran Sword, and a reminder that all of his details can be found in the show notes.
Yes, as can the scripts if you'd like to practice them.
I did one of his practice scripts the other day and had...
Did you?
It was the cow... It was the really short one. It was Loic's one. Loic's short cow one.
Yes.
Amazing.
Ironically, I wasted about a number of hours just redoing this script for no better reason than I was like, oh, I'm not quite sure I've got that right there. No one was going to see it, but it was a brilliant script.
See, Sam, people do
use
them for practice.
It's an incredible resource, actually. There are,
isn't
there
it,
are
just
lots
with
of scripts
138
in there. Yeah.
episodes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right, that's it for this week. Thanks again to Kieran Sword. We'll be back again next week with more scripts and another voiceover guest when we'll be asking, this is where we do it all together, Kieran. We'll be asking, how
do you say that? How do you say that?